today on Real Radio.
By the truth going out, it actually discerns, by it landing alongside you, it actually exposes the fact that you're willing to learn or receive from God, or the fact that you're not willing to receive or learn from God. The word actually judges you and I. It's a supernatural power. The Bible does this. No other book can do this.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Being Right with God, Part 1, continues a new series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. The Old Testament book of Isaiah records the powerful ministry of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah's calling as a prophet was primarily to the nation of Judah and the city of Jerusalem. Isaiah urged the people to repent from their sins and return to God. He also foretold the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and also what will happen in the last days. In Isaiah chapter 4, we find Judah in captivity, but God's covenant with his people is everlasting. So, Isaiah predicts God's coming restoration of the nation of Israel, and Jesus, who Isaiah foretold as the branch of God, was like a tree cut down, but regrew and produced many trees. Likewise, Israel will once again increase into a great nation. We also learned that we were given the ministry of reconciliation, and through God's love we can restore others, knowing that we too can fall away. Now in chapter 5, Isaiah will deliver his message to Israel in a poem that's in the form of a parable. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that this poem is a parable about a vineyard, and this vineyard is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines. God did everything he could to make it beautiful, plentiful, and safe. God did his part and wanted Israel to do the same. And now in his lesson called Being Right with God, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
I pray that as we get into our study tonight, Lord God, that you would speak to us so much here in Isaiah chapter 5 for us. So, Father, we pray now that you'd give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God, you, Lord, would minister to us. And we ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Well, do that if you would, please. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah 5, as we go through the Word of God tonight, we're going to be looking at a message from this chapter entitled, Being Right with God. Now, you might say that's a strange title to get out of this chapter because it's anything but that. Being right with God. The whole issue is Israel is not right with God in Isaiah 5. Yeah, I know that, but what we want to do is read the Word of God and extract out of the Word of God what applies to us today. We will learn from its history, that is Israel's history. We will learn from their lessons. We will understand that God is speaking to the nation of Israel, and what he has spoken, he will fulfill. But we also learn, as Romans chapter 15, verse 4 tells us, that all these things that were written down in advance were written down for our learning and for our admonition, that we, through patience, might inherit the promises. Remember, Paul wrote that to a bunch of Italians in Rome. But those promises were given to Israel, and God is speaking to the nation of Israel, specifically the southern kingdom of Judah, in chapter 5, because they had strayed far from God. And if you've been with us in these studies, you've already been able to figure out and determine that there seems to be a cycle. There is almost a sine wave to the ministry of Isaiah. He will pronounce judgment. He will challenge the people to repent of their sins. And then he'll slip into a prophecy of the future coming of the kingdom. And he'll do this throughout the entire book. 66 chapters, he'll do that through the book. And it's really amazing. You guys know by now that Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, he's known affectionately as the evangelical prophet, because from the prophecies of Isaiah, there's more messianic prophecies of Jesus Christ in the book of Isaiah than any other Old Testament prophecy book. It's pretty amazing. Also of God's judgment and of the time of God's dealing with the nation of Israel in the last days. So the title again, Being Right with God. And this is interesting. If you're taking notes tonight, mark this down regarding chapter 5. It's rather amazing. Isaiah is now called by God to deliver a message to the nation, to the people, in the form of a poem. Now, what's amazing about this, what you're about to hear, is chapter 5, according to the Jews, even today, the poetic language of Isaiah chapter 5 is known by the Jews, by the Hebrews, to be some of the most beautiful language ever penned in the Hebrew language. Chapter 5. Faith or not, in the Hebrew, it's deemed as some of the most beautiful. And what's interesting to us as believers here in the 21st century is the fact that it's a message delivered in the form of a poem, but it's not just any kind of a poem. It's a parabolic poem. It's brought in parable form. You guys remember, I think it was Wednesdays or Sundays, did we go through that parable series? Was it Wednesdays? And do you remember what a parable means? Parabolic, parabolos, para, in the Greek, alongside balos, to cast truth or to cast the word. A parable is to cast alongside you, para, alongside, balos, to cast alongside you, truth. Jesus spoke in parables publicly. Did you know that? When Jesus spoke to the crowds, he always spoke in parables. His disciples even asked him, what are you doing that for? And he says, look, to you, you get it. It's been granted to you to understand the words of the kingdom. But when I speak to the crowds in parables, there'll be those who are open to understanding. They want to know, and there are those who don't want to know. In any crowd, that's true. In any crowd. But the word of God goes out. Some people want to know it, and some people could care less. They just seem to be gathered around a religious gathering of people. But there's some people who want to know. Jesus spoke parables, and a parable is absolutely remarkable because it's engineered by God. It was introduced by God to us humans, and it is an amazing way of communication. God delivers the truth right alongside your head. Imagine sitting down right now, and the person sitting next to you, there's a space between you and that person of anywhere from 18 to 25, 24 inches of space between your heads. And imagine the same exact truth lands right between the two of you. Bloop, lands right there. Imagine, Jesus casts the truth like a fisherman. Bloop, it lands right between the two of you. And one of you goes, wow, that's amazing. I got it. And the other person goes, I don't get it. You know what's amazing about that? God doesn't give light to one person and blinds the other. By the truth going out, it actually discerns, by it landing alongside you, it actually exposes the fact that you're willing to learn or receive from God, or the fact that you're not willing to receive or learn from God. The word actually judges you and I. It's a supernatural power. The Bible does this. No other book can do this. So Isaiah chapter 5 casts this truth out to the nation. And they'll either receive it or they'll reject it. So if we receive it, we thank God for calling out to us. But if we reject it, we ourselves alone are to blame. Does that make sense? It's brilliant. Of course, it's God's divine way of communicating. In your note-taking next to chapter 5 in your margins, write this down. Jesus actually mentions by parable Isaiah chapter 5 in the Gospel of Matthew. You can read it later because it's very lengthy. But in Matthew chapter 21, verses 33 to 45, Jesus, it says there, speaks a parable to the leaders of Israel. And he speaks to them about a vineyard. And when you read that parable, you come down to the end, and it says there the Pharisees got all angry at Jesus because they recognized, watch this, that he spoke the parable about them. Don't you think if you figured out, hey, he's speaking right to us, that you would say, I'm sorry, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I'd like to receive you now as my Lord and Savior. No, they didn't do that. They boarded up their hearts, and they went to war against him. That's exactly what a parable does. And Jesus speaks in a parable referencing Isaiah chapter 5. By the way, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, John says, I fell at his feet to worship him. That is an angelic being that is next to him speaking with him. But he said to me, see to it that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. Watch this. Why? For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Awesome statement. The prophetic word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Peter says this, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully. Imagine that for a moment. The prophets would speak under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, possessed by God. They would speak biblical truth, or they would pen, write it, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, says Peter, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Verse 12, to them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. The prophets, Isaiah, for example, among others, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, they spoke under the possession of the Holy Spirit. Imagine that for a moment. We don't know what that's like. Oh, Pastor, I met a prophet out in the marketplace the other day. No, you didn't. Oh, yeah, he said he was. I don't care if he said he was the Pope. It's not happening. The book of Hebrews makes it clear that's not happening anymore. But these men, the Old Testament prophets, the Holy Spirit came upon them, imagine this, and spoke through them. And you've got this collection of writings that are unparalleled in human history, of bulletproof qualification, the Old Testament, and most recently, the revelation or the unveiling, the unearthing of the Dead Sea Scrolls, which once and for all shut the mouths of critics. The German School of Higher Criticism, for example, was shut up in 1948 when those books began to be researched because God's word, God's Old Testament scriptures were found intact and the prophets were there. Multiple volumes of the book of Isaiah, for example. God spoke through the prophets. And the Bible tells us that what you and I talk about regarding, watch, the gospel, that, listen, that God would save the world through his Messiah that would come, that from the Old Testament prophets it spoke that it would be both Jew and Gentile. I'd like to remind my Jewish friends of that. They might love me, maybe. I'm not sure. I don't know exactly. But I remind them that it's their God and their Old Testament scriptures that announce that God, the God of the Bible, would save Gentiles like me. I'm very grateful. You know, that doctrine's from the Old Testament. Did you know that? That God would save you from the book of Isaiah that was prophesied. And God spoke through them. And it's such an amazing thing that the gospel would be announced. And the prophets had spoken them without error. And here's the kicker. That ministry that God imparted by the Holy Spirit through man, for man, angels desire to learn about it. Because, you know, Jesus didn't die for angels. Think of that. He died for us. Angels, imagine. What if right now, as we're going through the Bible, in the spirit realm. Imagine if there were angels sitting back there or sitting on the stage here, sitting right here in the podium. You can't see them. But the Bible says right here that angels desire to look into these things. That's kind of fun to think about, huh? Are you guys with me or did that? I thought that would have wowed you. I thought that would have been like, oh, wow. I thought I felt something next to me. No, but it's pretty amazing if you think about it. They desire to learn. You say, well, can't they pick up a Bible and read it themselves? guess not. I don't know. They desire to look into these things. I find that awesome. I find that absolutely fascinating. Isaiah 5, verse 1. Now let me, says Isaiah, sing to my well-beloved. That's an Old Testament idiom. Statement of the Messiah. You can mark that in your margins there. Isaiah says, let me sing to my well-beloved. He's referring to the Messiah. A song of my beloved, God's song. This is interesting dialogue here. Regarding his vineyard, soon we'll see that it's none other than Israel itself. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in its midst and also made a wine press in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. Imagine Isaiah speaking this now to a rebellious people. And they're hearing it. Verse 3, and now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, this is the Lord speaking, and men of Judah, judge, please, between me and my vineyard. What more could I have done to my vineyard than I have not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? And now, please let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, and break down its walls, and it shall be trampled down. I will lay it waste. Notice who's doing the cleansing. It's God himself. It shall not be pruned or dug, but there shall come up briars and thorns. So Israel at some point in time is going to be left desolate from the time of Isaiah's prophecy. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain on it. Verse 7. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of who?
Israel.
And the men of Judah are his pleasant plant. He looked for justice, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry for help. That's his indictment. That's his word to them. And what does history tell us about this? About God's goodness? Notice this. God is saying, I have this land designated. You need to, everybody listen carefully to this. I'm going to help you solve much of the world's problems in 5 minutes. I mean it. Watch this. Are you ready? God says in the Bible, in fact, let me be very dramatic about this. 743 years before Jesus was born. So in my hand, 2,000, let's just round up, 2,800 years ago, it's written in this book that God says, I have a nation called Israel. I know exactly where it is, he says. I even inscribe my name upon the land of it, God says. He's embossed his name on it, says God. Listen, 2,800 years predates the borders of the 1967 boundaries that President Obama wanted Netanyahu to shrink Israel back to. Go back to your previous borders. And when I heard that on the news, I shouted at my TV. And I said, no, not 1967. Go further back to, go way back to the promised borders. Don't go back to the 1967 borders. Go back to the promised borders of millennia ago. When God says the kingdom of Israel is going to stretch this way and that way, all the way to the Euphrates River, all the way down through Jordan, all the way down through Iraq, all the way through Persia, all the way down to Saudi Arabia and over to the land of Egypt. That's going to be, listen, when Jesus returns, that's the borders. Imagine, he's going to return and he's going to take out a Sharpie and he's going to go, and he's going to mark out the promised territory that was given to Abraham. That's the promised land. Now, here's the thing that we'll solve in 5 minutes. Isn't Israel the occupier? Yes, if you don't believe in the Bible. Period. Israel is the occupier if you don't believe in God, the God of the Bible. Did you know that? Oh, I heard at school Israel's the occupier. Godless school. Godless person telling you that. United Nations, godless. They don't have a clue what they're talking about. God made the earth. He said, this area is my promised land, and this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring in a bunch of pagan people and let them occupy the land that I've promised to a people that will come. The flesh will be there first, because the flesh comes first. I'll plant the flesh in the land, but through my promises to my promised people, they will come in and they'll have to circumcise the land of the pagan flesh. That's the pattern I've established. So here's the deal. Were there people existing in the land of Israel before it was Israel's? Yes, but God promised it to Israel from time and eternity. So listen, it's Israel's right to the land based upon the promises of God. When you talk to your friend and they say, well, Israel's the occupier, they're actually admitting that they do not believe in the Bible nor the God of the Bible. Because if they did, they would believe in the promises of the God of the Bible that he made to Israel. Does this make sense to you?
Yes.
You know more now, I'm serious, than the United Nations knows. Well, we need to divide the land. We need to divide in Israel. You know, I don't know. I would love to be able to stand there one day and just say, hey, God promised the land to Israel. Deal with it. And walk off. I mean, that's the answer. Man, that sounds radical. It is radical. But not to God. He made the earth. What are you going to do about that? And God is good, by the way. He says to Israel, I promised it to you. And I prepared it for you. I set you on a very choice piece of land. It's sweet. It's beautiful.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a message called Being Right with God, Part 1. Thanks for listening. And there is satisfaction in being satisfied with what God has already provided. Being Right with God, Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah and the foretelling of the coming of the Messiah, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, Pastor Jack, I know you've always got your finger on the pulse of things to read and things to watch and whatnot. Is there anything special you'd like to throw out to our listeners today, just for grins?
Yeah, you know what? Recently, we've been talking about the church and all and various topics. I want to encourage all of you to just take advantage of a resource that is out there. It's a lot of fun. I share it with a lot of young people. But it's just a blast, everyone. Take the time to write this down. If not, you can visit our website and get the details more if you miss it. But I'd like you to go start checking out on a regular basis a website called gotquestions.org.
I'm putting it in my notes right now.
Absolutely. Gotquestions.org. It is a wonderful, quick reference, safe. It is, when I say safe, I mean it is conservative, biblical, Christ-honoring, God-exalting, high view of Scripture website where you can read on any topic. You can type, you can put in homosexuality, baptism, church, evolution, environment, death, heaven, hell, angels, demons. You can put it in there and you're going to be given about a 3 to 4 minute Bible study on that topic. It's a whole lot of fun. It's great to use as a conversational piece with believers and non-believers alike. Gotquestions.org. I highly recommend it. Go there and make it your own.
Gotquestions.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. If you'd like to donate, you can do so at Real Life with Jack Hibbs on the app, or just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.